There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5. Midday Mobile on this Monday. Check in with Dale Leash from Lanyap and lanyapmobile.com in just a second. This segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Now, that's my buddy Trey. He's been getting junk gone from your house, your office, your shop, your storage unit, wherever, for the last 15-plus years. And he has served so many people around here. It's really cool. You go look at the reviews for 1-800-GOT-JUNK. If you don't have to scroll too far until you'll go, oh, I know who that is, or I know who that is. So it is a genuine hometown-staffed company with hometown reviews from people you know and me. Been telling you for a decade about using them personally, using them with this radio station. So many of us have here as well. You got junk, you want it gone, do that. I have this whole thing, like maybe 2023 should be the year of putting, if you have a garage, okay, and maybe some of you pile up the junk at the carport. I don't know. I'm not here to judge. But the thing, like putting a vehicle in your garage, it's a cool thing. Like get the junk out there and then the vehicle's in there. Then it's like out of the rain and out of the sun. And I'm projecting too much here. If you got a junk wherever, at your home or a storage unit you pay on every month or at your business, you want to get rid of the junk, you need 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Set that appointment really easy. Go online to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com or pick up the phone. The name is the number, 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Make that appointment today and say hello to my buddy Trey. Okay, there's a lot of text coming through here. I will say this just for the people that were heard what the congressman said about taking down after the double-decker bayway happens and then we all start traveling the high road. Then when they take down the lower current bridge that he's pushing for it to be, you know, reef material. Well, I just got word from somebody in the know that the state is already looking into that. So that could be more bridge rubble part two. Also, I want to read this text. This is actually, we'll read this as we go into our conversation with Dale Leash, because maybe he'll have some commentary on it. Don says, good afternoon, Sean. So I hear they're shutting down Bienville Square for total renovation. I wonder when they will come out and protest for the squirrels to shut the project down. Let us know if there's any need for volunteers for Squirrel Fest 2023. First place that news story would probably come up would be with Lanyap. And with that, y'all say hello to Dale Leash. Hey, man.
Hey, who's protesting in this scenario? The squirrels?
I imagine, yeah. He says, when will they come out and protest for the squirrels? So it'd be
the squirrels.
Yeah, a proxy.
Yeah, I remember years ago, everybody got in a tizzy over feeding the squirrels.
Right.
The city was going to prevent people from feeding the squirrels, and that didn't pass the council. In fact, our mutual friend John Williams, I think, made the quote of the century when he said, let the squirrels eat. So when he was on the state council, people love their squirrels, man. I don't know what to tell them. These renovations to Bienville Square are going to be pretty great, but I also understand that people love their squirrels. So I don't know what we're going to do.
That may do a study.
Find out.
Do a study on impact to the squirrel population with the renovations at Bienville Square. Did anything in the budget, in the proposed 2024 fiscal budget for the city about squirrels? Did you see that in a line item?
Not anything that I've seen. But can we be honest? Squirrels are just rats with better PR, right?
Like, very much so. Cuter
rats. I don't understand the hype, but I applaud. I applaud people for being passionate about something. I guess,
but whatever it takes to get them passionate.
Yeah.
So reading the first sentence here, of your piece over at LandNetMobile.com. It's interesting. He said annexation, this is from the city, annexation had a huge impact on the city's proposed fiscal year 2024 budget. Now, we heard that through the campaign, how much it would mean, but now we got a real number. You said increasing revenues by more than $7 million and growing Mobile by 19,000 people. So they put a real number on it.
Yeah, and you saw that number play out earlier when the council approved the extension of the 1 cent sales tax for until 2028 for the CIP program, because that directly corresponds to the $1 million per year additional revenue that each council member or each council district is going to get as part of the CIP. So previously, that had been $21 million total, $3 million per district. It's now $4 million per district. And that is, if you add $1 million to each seven districts, that's $7 million. So it's made a direct contribution to what they project the 2024 budget will be with annexation. And that number is only going to increase as they start rolling back some of the prohibitions on the taxes, especially after 5 years. So we're going to see, it's only going to get better for the city as far as annexation goes.
Yeah, I could, I probably shouldn't. Oh, I'll do it. I could start a problem right here and say, even with the allocation of CIP, District 6, with their new head, Josh Woods, being way bigger than the other districts, and there's less dollars per citizen in District 6 than the other
districts. that'll change soon. We'll get redistricted, and there'll still be more. You're right. There'll still be more citizens per district. So your share per district will go down. Will go down slightly, but I think it'll be offset roughly by the addition of $1 million per district. But you're right. It's not like a full $1 million is being added, because you're going to have more people per district. That's true.
You also talking this story about. You quoted the mayor, Mayor Stimson, saying the city of Mobile's financial position remains strong, end quote. I remember early on, first term for Mayor Stimson, that was a major effort there to turn around. Remember, we talked about the bond rating and how those things changed. So I guess we're still living up to that.
Yeah, I mean, the problem when Sandy Stimson took over, and I'm not going to put all the blame on the former administration. I mean, there were issues with the economy at that point. Everything had slowed down quite a bit, and revenue wasn't where it needed to be. But what the former administration did was they took money out of that was supposed to be used for capital, and they put it in the general fund, the operating budget. And when you do that, you have less money for capital expenses. And so city's basically been trying to keep up with that. It wasn't just the previous administration's going back for, 30, 40 years had probably not put as much of an emphasis on capital spending. And so now that we've got the CIP program and we've got other initiatives that are pouring capital money into, police and fire vehicles, sidewalks, streets, all that drainage, all that stuff, you've got a situation where we're slowly, not only are we getting rid of debt, which is good, but we're also able to spend more money on capital infrastructure and make up for the $200 million in deferred maintenance that we've had for a number of years.
Some of the big move too has been to hold on. We talk about it in a public safety, whether I'm talking the Mobile Fire and Rescue or Mobile Police Department, being able to raise salaries to hold on to people, keep that institutional knowledge in there. That's been it looks like it's moving beyond just public safety, right? And all over the city for cost of living increase.
Well, yeah, there was a cost of living raise for all employees in this 2024 budget. That has been the norm recently. I mean, I know we're going back to when Stimson took over. He had to cancel a planned raise that employees were going to get in 2013 or 2014. That was a little bit before my time in Lanier, so I apologize. but nevertheless, since that time, they've really made an effort to try to, get those salaries back up. And like you said, with police and fire especially, because we would train policemen, we would train firefighters, and they would go work for higher wages somewhere else. So they're working on that. They're probably not, neither I don't think either department would tell you that they're where they need to be as far as personnel goes, but they're a lot better off than they were, I think.
You know, Dale, you also, I mean, it's like we're going in the time machine back to the maybe the first term for Mayor Stimson, but you talk about the city will slightly increase the funding it gives to various nonprofit organizations through performance contracts. Remember the gnashing of teeth about performance contracts early on with Mayor Stimson?
It's funny. I feel like, kind of like a dinosaur, Sean, and I'll tell you why. I remember when I used to do budget stories way back when, and it was always, I had to focus for a year or two, I just primarily focused on performance contracts. Mm-hmm. It was like the biggest part of the budget is what nonprofit's going to get what money and where are we going to spend it? And the last 4 or 5 years, I don't think it's been as big a deal for folks as it was previously. I will say that, and you see this a lot with administrations as they become more comfortable with the way things work. You know, the administration is getting, you know, they're increasing the funding through performance contracts, and they have for a number of years now. Each year it seems to have been going up, especially since, you know, 2020. Now that's probably a special case, but still, every year since 2020 that I know of, they've gone up. I think it's gone up by about $4 million in 4 years. So about $1 million a year, and that include. I mean, and the increases this year include losing the $200,000 that went to LAD, because LAD is now not city property anymore. And you know, you see increased funding for the bowl games. The HBCU bowl game or the football games. And you see level funding for like the Senior Bowl and what is it called now? The 68 Ventures Bowl. Mm-hmm. So that thing, I can never keep track of its names because it changes every 2 years, but I got it. I'm very proud of myself that I got it. So that's where we are basically. It's funny that no one seems to care about performance contracts now. It used to be the biggest thing.
Yeah,
ever.
It's funny. You look at that and see how much has changed. I want to shift to another story here that you and Kyle and all y'all at Landiap have absolutely led the way on the reporting of, former priest Alex Crow. I know there's a headline today about the Archbishop here. Can you bring us up to date on the story?
Yeah, well, first of all, I want to point out that, you know, Kyle, me, and Rob have all done, have all worked really hard on this story to try to keep it relevant and keep it, you know, keep it in the zeitgeist, so to speak. And so, you know, Kyle not being Catholic, we thought that, you know, a couple of Catholic boys from the Mobile area could help out. And so that's where me and Rob get involved. So I just want to point that out, is it's not a bunch of Protestants coming after the Catholic Church. You know, we are Catholics and we care about the church. Yeah. But, to go to your point, yeah, the Archbishop came out with a statement today, a video statement basically saying something to the effect of, you know, we're going to cooperate with civil authorities, meaning the Sheriff's Department and the DA. And, you know, basically, you know, I know you've got more questions. I can't really answer them right now. We're going to defer questions to those same civil authorities. So that's kind of what he said right now. It's not earth shattering. But he's an attorney, and I think he's going to, you know, I think he's going to keep it close to the vest. I mean, they don't want to spoil the investigation.
Well, obviously, we keep up with that when we go to landiapmobile.com or pick up each week's copy of Landiap. Tell folks how to sign up to do this thing we're always talking about, the website. How do they get on?
Landiapmobile.com, where you see all the late-breaking stories on the website. Also, there's a digital copy of the paper every week, so you don't even have to, you know, you don't even have to smell the paper. You can just go through and look at it from your home. You can wake up on Saturday mornings and just read through it on your phone, because I know we're all looking at our phones anyway.
That's right.
So there's that, but there's also the print edition, which is, and LandiapMobile.com, please subscribe. It's $1 for the first month, and then after that, it goes back to the regular price. That's a special introductory offer we got going on right now. So this would be the time to sign up. If you've thought about it, do it. Purple boxes everywhere, all over town. You can see copy of the paper, racks all over town. Just check it out. We really work hard to make it the best it can be.
Y'all do great work. Dale, as always, I appreciate you and your work, the rest of the crew, and I'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
All right, coming right back. More Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5, 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right at 124, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Monday. Let's check in with my buddy Ron at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry as we get a week started here. Ron, what's the lay of the land on precious metals? You said there were some buying opportunities last week. What's it looking like on this Monday?
It's still doing pretty good. Precious metals have climbed a little bit, but they're still in the territory what I would consider a great buy, especially if you consider the last 12 months. So premiums have not increased yet, so you can still take advantage of the price drop. Silver, for instance, was dropped from $26 down to the $22 per ounce area. It's risen up to a $23, but still $3 off what it was just a few weeks ago. And gold's over $100 off, and it's still starting to climb a little bit. And a lot of things that affected that was the Fed announcing that they were going to do a few more 0.25% rate hikes, which kind of artificially pushes precious metal prices down and makes it a really good buying opportunity.
Now, okay, you're probably going to throw something through the phone at me or say it depends, but if you had to choose one or the other, gold or silver, which one do you choose? Which one, does anybody ever walk in and say, which one? Which one do I get?
Well, all the time. And if it's, what I do is I tell them, you know, first find out what they're looking to invest. If it's a number that's under $5,000, you probably just want to stick with silver. That amount of metal you can store pretty relatively easy, carry relatively easily. If you get into larger numbers, you really need to divide it between gold and silver. You don't want to have all your eggs in one basket. Of course, you have palladium and platinum, which have been pretty good buys as of late, especially platinum. So kind of divide it up amongst the different items. And people come in, give us an idea what they're looking to hedge with or invest with. We can help break that down.
Yeah, that that stuff out of our catalytic converters, the palladium and platinum, that's way high. Like, how much is that per ounce comparatively? I mean, what's it trading at today?
Palladium's trading a little bit above gold right now, and that has been dropping a little bit. There have been rumors in the auto industry that they might switch back to platinum, which, of course, will have palladium drop to the bottom, and then platinum will shoot back up because, obviously, all the different catalytic converter makers will need to order that. So a lot of people have been jumping into platinum. It's been flat, but it's people are speculating that the auto industry is going to switch back to platinum, and then, of course, platinum prices will rise.
Well, this is just a little taste of the education you get when you go in and ask about precious metals at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. So tell people how to find you, Ron.
We're looking at 2204 Government Street in Midtown, just down the street from Little Flower Catholic School and Church. They can call us at 251-725-1590 or visit us at MobileBayCoins.com.
Thanks, Ron.
You're welcome, Sean.
All right, there he goes. Ron checking in from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. I'll get to some text in a second here. But this, okay, let's run our list here. So Pritchard Water, right, and that's a whole other story there with the possibility of eminent domain, but the failures at the Pritchard Water, the failures in law enforcement, we talked about, what, last week, wasn't it, with Sheriff Birch about Mobile County Sheriff's Office going in and assisting residents there because those residents didn't feel like their police department was getting it done. And then this from WPMI, headline, Pritchard residents urged to be patient amid delay in garbage collection services. Story from Keith Lane over at MyNBC15.com. People in Pritchard have been more than patient, I would imagine. It said Pritchard authorities have announced the city is experiencing a delay in garbage pickup. The city of Pritchard wanted to ensure the residents that their garbage would be picked up and asked for additional patience. This is like, how much patience? What level? What patience multiplier are we on now? It says, as for additional patience, as Pritchard Public Works departments continue to secure and deploy necessary resources. What does this mean? To support curbside collections and keep the department's employees safe. From what? It says, Pritchard Public Works is currently experiencing delays in garbage collection services, in service, which is primarily affecting all residents. It's beautiful. Who's it affecting? Well, primarily, it's affecting everybody. said the pace of return to normal operations may be slowed by ongoing challenges. This is just full of word salad stuff. Was this written by Kamala Harris, by the vice president? Said the pace of return to normal operations may be slowed by ongoing challenges that PPW is facing with mechanical issues. However, we are confident that our garbage collections will return to their regular schedule soon. Let me just add in, be patient, right? It goes on to say, we are committed to providing residents with transparent... Oh my gosh, this is word salad. It's like congealed word salad. We are committed to providing residents with transparent information on these vital services and will be sharing updates as they develop on the temporary route updates. Okay, there you go. Oh, it also said to remind residents to secure your garbage can lid closed until it's collected. Speaking of places that might go into receivership. All right, 1:30. I got the news coming your way. Then back to you at 343-0106. 343-0106. This is Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile Monday style. And we'll get to your calls and text at 343-0106, 343-0106. Check in with my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars. You always get the week started talking inventory, and you got a lot of trucks in the mix.
We do, Sean, and we got some good-looking trucks, too. We just got in a 2020 F-150 four-wheel drive. It's got the leveling kit on it. It's got a good-looking set of aftermarket wheels and tires. We got a 2018 that's got about a four-inch lift on it, and it drives like it came from the factory. I mean, it goes straight down the road, and anybody's driven anything with a lift, you know they're usually rough riding. It's a really nice truck. It's a Platinum. And it's a two-wheel drive with a lift in the aftermarket wheels and tires. Good-looking vehicles. Well, we got a lot of F-150s in. We got a few Silverados in, all the way down to Mustangs. So anything you want, we've got.
All right. Tell folks how to check those out online and, better yet, in person.
You go to lcmmotorcars.com and check everything out. You got a free Carfax there if you go to lcmmotorcars.com. Everything comes with a 3-month, 3,000-mile warranty. You can also come see us in person. We're at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. Or give us a call, 251-375-0068.
Thanks, David.
Have a good week.
You too. David McCrary checking in from LCM Motor Cars. Some pictures. By the way, I've received a picture from Dr. Mariona of the squirrel dressed in battle gear. Squirrel's getting ready to go to war, you know, over the Bienville Square remodeling. And then my man Don said, Bienville Square squirrel over rice with brown gravy. Corn, peanut, and designer breads and cracker fed at that. Where do I sign up? Yeah, you know, if you're looking for the quality of squirrel, they have some fat in that squirrel, Don. Yes, I would say but I don't know if they're not going to have a hunt for them. But I think there's going to be some issues, right? I mean, they're doing the remodeling, and I don't know if they will put the squirrels up in trees elsewhere in the city while the remodeling's going on. It'd only be fair. You know, I mean, if the squirrels are going to be out of a home, you know, be disturbed with all the work going on in Bienville Square, we'll find some other trees in Mobile, put them in there for a little bit, and then they can come back when the renovations are done. All right, Doesn't Have Meta said, Sean, it's dangerous picking up garbage in the hood. Dirt Digger, Sean, the beach mice have moved to Pritchard. Wow. I did not know that. This texture said, it was just reading that press release from Pritchard. It was just a lot. It's just a lot. The folks there, I mean, it's just a lot. This texture said, the word salad spoils. Will there be anybody to collect the garbage from it? If it spoils, yeah, you got to keep that lid shut on the rotten word salad. Ed said, Sean, sounds like Pritchard's mayor and council should each get on the back and run pickup routes. You know, wouldn't Ed, I know you're saying, I don't know how you're saying it, but that would be, I think that would be really big. You know, if you're in that position, and a lot of times it's done for photo ops and stuff, but at this level, municipal level, probably isn't. If you had a situation where, you know, if I'm a mayor in that size city and something like that, well, and if I'm a, you know, I got a full-time position with the city, if I get my administrative stuff, you know, just like we'll do that in the morning or do that in the afternoon and go run a route. I mean, you're talking about a way to get reelected. I think that would be a winner. They see you out there working. Ben says, has social media all but killed the need for political debates? You know, I don't know. Now, I like them, right? But I mean, I'm in this business. I like debates. I also see, I mean, how many critiques were leveled against Governor Ivey for not engaging in the debates? How many of those same people will say, yeah, but Trump's fine. He doesn't need to do it. So we just got to make sure that we're being equitable with that. But obviously, with the dominant lead that former President Trump has in the cycle, not idealistically, but pragmatically, you can probably say, yeah, why the heck would he risk it, right? Why would he risk it? It would be, it's going to be, but he'll be there anyway. That's the thing. The debate's tomorrow night. He won't be there physically, but he's going to be in their brains and in the questions asked and the answers given. It will be like a proxy of Donald Trump in that room, but he will not be there at the Milwaukee debates. But I don't think social media has all but killed the need for political debates, because you know what you don't get on social media? You get the little tweets back and forth and the nicknames and all that crap that I'm nonplussed by. I know, that leaves me in the minority, but what you don't get is the first statement, a response, and then a response to a response on the fly. You know, and you hear that in debates, and of course, Trump the master of that, because, you know, as the wise political student Shane Gillis said, I mean, Trump doesn't argue about the facts of a platform. He just turns around and makes an insult, and then the crowd goes wild, and, you know, they'll just, if somebody rolls something out, he'll just say wrong. But, you know, there's a lot of attention that came to the debates because of that. But I can see why the Trump camp, Trump world, would not engage in the debates with this big of a lead. But as a consumer of it, I sure wish you would be. All right. Are the mice in Pritchard? I like how we have migrated the beach mouse into Pritchard. I mean, seriously, just think about the latest lineup. No, the water issues for Pritchard, and especially you can look at Alabama Village, where they're talking about just no water for those folks. The law enforcement issue. Listen to the sheriff. Go back and check that podcast out, which I wish you would. You could do it through the FM Talk 106.5 app or wherever you get podcasts, or go to fmtalk1065.com and just click podcast and search for Sheriff Birch. Listen to his description of the number of cases they made in just like a week's time in Pritchard. After Pritchard residents said, hey, please help us. And now they're saying, well, you know, this garbage thing. How many times say like transparent and efforting and all that? It's crap. That's what that is. It's crap. Oh, about the DeSantis stuff. Yeah, I thought that was interesting. And I know Dana Dalton talked about it a good bit too, with the notes for how DeSantis would conduct himself in the debate coming out ahead of time. You know, everybody wants to pretend like it's all off the top of their head, but they have coached and coached and coached themselves up, except for maybe Donald Trump. I don't know how. Doing like, you know, doing a mock debate and, you know, working with your candidate. I don't know how that would work with Donald Trump, but DeSantis, he's out. And then Ramaswamy, what's he? There's something else came out what Ramaswamy is going to do. We'll talk about this Wednesday. We'll have this in the rear view to look at the first debate for the Republicans or the entire 2024 season. Let's see. Questions coming in. Of course they are. Coming in right before I go to the news. I don't have an answer for that. We'll let you know. Question about redistricting. We're still. I would think maybe weeks away from getting a special master decision, but I have a feeling, and I can just kind of read what goes on out there, how people act, that we're going to look at these pretty big gerrymandered district for two into AL1. The district's not going to look like it does now, no matter which way they go. So you better get used to that idea. It's frustrating, but it's happening. It's happening. The only benefit, I would say, maybe, is that we would have two districts that would have an interest in Mobile. That would be of note. That you would have two members of Congress that would have some reason to be working on things for Mobile. That would be good. At the same time, you know, like we've said so many times before, but that means you're going to get lumped in with somebody who lives across the state. I mean, you're talking about the, I mean, somebody who lives right up against, slap up against Eastern time zone. Can you believe that? Oh, by the way, it's, you know, not only West Nile season, as we do every year, the West Nile, the Sentinel chickens show up with the West Nile virus in them and all that. It's also Vibrio season. It's a, like shoulder season, I guess, of Vibrio. A story from Lita Gore over at AL.com said, a rare flesh-eating bacteria has killed 5 people now in Florida since the start of the year. Data shows Florida has 26 Vibrio vulnificus infections this year, with 2 deaths in Hillsborough County and 1 each in surrounding Pasco, Pinellas, and Sarasota counties. So reason to not go there. I don't know. It's, we have 15 Vibrio cases reported in Alabama this year. It's Vibrio season, so there we go. All right, coming back, speaking of those kind of things, it's time for a checkup right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back to Midday Mobile and time for a checkup here on FM Talk 106.5. Successful business owners are recognizing everyday life stresses impacting on-the-job performance. Wait a second, was this written about us? Studies are showing that employees are trying to cope with distressing personal issues, are more likely to be involved in accidents, make imprudent decisions, abuse sick leave. Joining us on Time for a Checkup, Jason Tanner, licensed, independent, certified social worker and assistant director for Bayview Professional Associates. Talk with us about warning signs of employee stress and resources available to employers. Welcome aboard. Good to see you.
Hey, thanks for having me.
This is like, this is the most true thing ever to read. I mean, this is in print now and this is what you do, but I think there's so many people nod their heads. Even personally, you go, whatever's going on, I hadn't given it 100% at work for a week or two, you know, and then you kind of get yourself together and do it. But this is going on in probably every business.
Yeah, correct.
I mean, something else outside of work is affecting their work.
Correct. I think it's both. I mean, I think people have outside issues that come into the workplace, and then certainly there's stresses within work that impact people as well. And the managers of businesses have to contend with all of that.
This the employee burnout, right? This term about employee burnout is, I don't think this is something new. Maybe paying attention to it is a newer thing.
Yeah, I think that in thinking about this topic, there's a couple of issues that have come up. The pandemic has really changed the way people look at work and what they want from work. It used to be we just wanted a check. People want more. Then I think the generational shift, the change in the workforce, younger people want more than the check. They want to be taken care of. They want to feel comfortable in the workplace. So that's made it a issue to how to recruit and how to retain and support your employees.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of these feelings are probably there at some level, but you point this out. Like, so I'm a Gen Xer, but from Generation X to Millennials, they do see it differently. Mm-hmm. Like, it's this whole idea where, well, I just leave it at the door, and that's just a place, like you said, you just go to get a check. I've got Millennials work for me, and, you know, it's a different kind of thing.
Correct.
Yes. I don't know. It maybe is actually better, you know, to have that kind of involvement in a business and want that to be family or social structure.
Right. I think that people want communication at work. You know, it used to be, this is your job, do what I tell you.
Yeah.
If you don't do it, I'm going to find somebody else. It's not easy to do that anymore. So you need to have more of an interactive process to work with people.
Can you, and we talk about that burnout issue, even with those things being put in place, I mean, people do. Though, I mean, if it seems like the work stack never ends, like, you know, I work like the Dickens to get through all this stuff. And then the boss just came in and just put like twice as much on me.
Right, right.
And then you're probably less productive maybe going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. A couple of statistics that I think are interesting. The American Psychological Association did a survey of thousands of people, and they found that 3 out of 5 employees express serious burnout at work.
And the other 2 were lying.
And then 79% of all employees say that they have burnout symptoms like lack of energy, lack of motivation, loss of interest in their job. So how to keep people motivated is a strong consideration for business owners.
Is it nothing is simple in this world, but I wonder, like, okay, if you have that burnout factor you're talking about, lack of motivation, so the person is showing up to work, but you're getting 50% or 30% out of them. Is there anything that shows that, okay, if you say, listen, y'all take a 3-day weekend, take a 4-day week, something like that, that you actually may be more productive when they come back? Do they come back and produce at 90%?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I just recently read something about the big tech companies that they felt like they weren't getting as much productivity from people at home. Although the people at home said I'm more productive. Mm-hmm. So I think the jury's still out, but I think the move to more of a relational supervision style is what's needed. And we do know statistically that probably close to 80% of all loss of work, you know, missing work, absenteeism occurs either directly because of stress. I'm taking a mental health day. Mm-hmm. I can't go in today. Or illness is caused by stress. So that's a lot of your sick time.
What percentage?
Around 80% combining those two together. Yeah.
So. I thought at first you're going to say 80% of those days where people call in are Mondays and Fridays. But
yeah, right. The old Delbert joke. Yes. Yeah, it's like,
But it's real. And you look at this and you have that lack of productivity. So what happens if you're talking to a business owner that has these issues? How do they address it? What do you tell them? What do you recommend?
Well, I like a little model that we use called APGAR. And it's how a manager can assess a person's work performance. So APGAR, A stands for appearance.
Okay.
P stands for productivity. The G stands for growth tension, as we ask our employees to do new things. How do they respond? The A is affect, or what we might call emotional control.
Okay.
And then the last one's relationships. So we kind of, as a manager, look at how's this person performing in context of the whole team. And this is how we kind of assess not just how many days have you been absent, but right, a relational type of thing. How are they performing with others?
So if they're going through the APGAR and they're like, well, this, you know, Sean over here is, he hadn't hit any of the letters or half the letters. So, okay, then what do you do? How do you fix that?
Right. One other thing to say too, sometimes it shows and sometimes it doesn't. You know, sometimes managers can't perceive it till a person comes and talks to them. But I think what we do is we work towards, you know, some better manager styles. So one is listening to employees. Employees tend to tell us what they need and what they want. So that's something that's important, because a lot of employees will say, you know, what would be helpful for them in the work environment. A second one would be to explore what other businesses do. So obviously helping people with their physical health, making sure they get exercise, providing better training, you know, in terms of leadership and relationships. And the last one is, you know, teaching people how to manage stress. We assume that people would come and compartmentalize, whether it's home or at work. But now we need to really help build some skills so people can be effective in the workplace.
Yeah, it sounds like, I mean, if people just want to look at this as a bottom line thing, which they don't. I mean, people are not monoliths here. But from a bottom line, this is an investment into your company.
That's correct.
I mean, if you want to look at not even the warm and fuzzy of it.
Right.
You know,
right,
that if you address these things and you get better productivity, you have better company.
Yeah, correct. I think the other thing, too, is a lot of managers are intimidated. I do counseling for a living, but a lot of managers feel like, you know, I can't really counsel people. So an employee assistance program is a great product to offer your employees.
Now, what is that?
Employee assistance program is counseling that the company pays for. You know, they pay X number of dollars per employee per year. And then that business, if they feel like, hey, a person has outside issues that are impacting work, or they have internal issues at work,
right,
I can talk to the employee, not a disciplinary issue, but make a referral. And then we get that person in within 72 hours, do limited solution focus type work,
okay,
and try to resolve that problem, or make referrals for other issues. Sometimes people have bigger issues that need more serious help. Other times, people have smaller issues. In my work that I do right now, for example, I get referrals with just communication conflicts.
Right.
So we'll work with an employee on better communication with different generations or better management style. So it kind of takes it off the business owner's plate. Where they can make a referral, and a lot of people like to use it. I would say most of our use of an EAP comes from people calling and saying, hey, I think I'd like to try this and see if it can help me.
Well, I like the fact that for people take it out of house, right? Mm-hmm. Now it's not somebody that there's already that built-in relationship with, and have somebody like you who's a professional do it.
Correct.
So, okay. So, Jason, people hearing that say, okay, that seems like something we might do. Do they call you directly at Bayview?
We have a number where you can call to explore EAPs. That's 251-450-2250. And that person then can ask, hey, I'd like to explore starting an EAP program. They could email me directly at AltaPoint if they wanted to do it with us. And that's J. Tanner, T-A-N-N-E-R, at AltaPoint.org. That's AltaPoint.org. The other thought that I had was there's a lot of good stuff on the internet in terms of thinking about what you can do as a business owner. I think the best website I could give somebody is SHRM.org.
How do you spell that?
SHRM, .org, and that's the Society for Human Resource Management. And they have a lot of good ideas on their website. If you don't have a human services or resource department, you can look it up yourself. But probably if you have a human resource department, they'll know about it. And they have a lot of good ideas about how to retain support staff. And give them the things that they need to be more productive.
I think there's people typing that in right now as they're listening to you. Jason, thanks for stopping by. Thanks for being part of the show.
All right, thank you.
All right, Jason Tanner, licensed independent certified social worker, assistant director at Bayview Professional Associates, right here on Time for a Checkup.